Radio Prague News. The Czech military base in the Afghan province Logar came under rocket fire on Monday night, the fourth attack on the base in 2 weeks. The Czech army has dismissed complaints from soldiers in Afghanistan regarding the alleged poor quality of their Dingo 2 armored vehicles. And a regional branch of the Social Democratic Party is demanding a pledge of loyalty from all candidates running in local elections. The Czech military base in the Afghan province Logar came under rocket fire on Monday night. No injuries are reported. Six rockets were fired at the base, home to the Czech provincial reconstruction team, but only one of them hit its target. Czech troops fired back and detained four insurgents, whom they later handed over to the Afghan authorities. This is the fourth attack on the base in the past 2 weeks. 10 soldiers were injured in two of the previous attacks. The Czech government wants to send 200 more troops to the base to improve security. However, it is not clear if the plan will win approval, since the opposition parties are unwilling to support it, saying that the country needs to review its goals in Afghanistan and even consider withdrawing its troops from the country. Meanwhile, an opinion poll conducted by the STEM agency suggests that the majority of Czechs are against sending more troops to Afghanistan. Two-thirds of respondents said they did not agree with the government's plan. The Czech army has dismissed reported complaints by Czech soldiers in Afghanistan who say their Dingo 2 armoured vehicles are not fit for purpose. The newspaper Lidové Noviny quoted soldiers as saying the Dingo had a weak engine and was very sensitive to the type of fuel used. However, the chief of staff of the Czech army, Vlastimil Picek, said that the problems could be caused by bad quality diesel fuel and that the army was now waiting for the results of an analysis. The Ministry of Defense in September signed a contract to buy another 15 Dingoes for more than 30 million crowns each. The Central Bohemian branch of the Social Democratic Party is demanding a pledge of loyalty from all candidates running in local elections due to be held in 10 days' time. If elected Social Democrat representatives should vote against a party resolution or are not present at key votes without a valid reason, they may be fined up to 4 million crowns. The proposal was put forward by the Central Bohemian election leader David Rath and approved by 85% of votes at a regional party conference. Although critics say that the pledge is unethical, none of the party's candidates have publicly opposed the move. The head of the National Anti-Drug Centre, Jiří Komoros, has confirmed that he plans to leave his post on February 1st of 2009. Mr. Komoros is leaving at his own request. He has headed the centre since 1995 and told journalists on Tuesday that after 17 years in office, it was time for a change of guard. He said he intended to continue working in the field of drug law enforcement but would not disclose his plans for the future. The current cult of economic growth at all costs may harm civilization, the former Czech president Václav Havel said in an interview for Z1 TV, a Czech digital TV channel, on Monday. Reflecting on the global financial crisis, Mr. Havel said that the cult of consumerism, growth and permanent change could lead civilization into an abyss. The dissident playwright turned president suggested that a certain degree of market regulation here and there could help prevent serious economic crisis, but it would not change people's growing obsession with money. He said an existential revolution of some kind was needed to make people recover their wits and rethink their priorities. An exhibition of rare photos showing the crushing of the Prague Spring Reform Movement in 1968 is on display at a gallery in Vienna. The photographs were taken by Austrian photographer Franz Goers, who worked for Paris Match magazine and happened to be in Prague at the time of the Soviet-led invasion. He made 100 photographs of the groundbreaking event, but they were never published, languishing for decades in an archive. Following an April premiere in Prague to mark the 40th anniversary of the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia, the collection is now on show at the Westlich Gallery in Vienna. It will remain on display until mid-October. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to bring a warm spell with sunny skies and day temperatures between 16 and 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, police claim to have uncovered a huge money laundering network in the center of Prague. The 10th annual Design Block Festival kicks off in the Czech capital. And later on in the program, we meet some of the recipients of the Gratias Agit Prize, given to those promoting the Czech Republic abroad.
There is in Czech a saying which says that nobody is a prophet at home, that you have to go abroad in order to be recognized. And so now I am a prophet at home.
All that coming up, so please stay tuned. Police in Prague say they have uncovered a huge money laundering operation located in the city centre. According to the police anti-corruption unit, a firm based on Prague's Národní Street had laundered hundreds of millions of dollars, apparently via a bureau de change and a complex of holiday apartments. Rob Cameron has more.
Passers-by on the busy intersection of Prague's Národní and Spálená streets witnessed an unusual start to the working week on Monday when police surrounded the large office building on the corner and sealed off the area. Eyewitnesses reported seeing a number of people being led away to waiting police vans, although the police are being tight-lipped about what or who they were looking for and indeed what they found. A spokesman did confirm to the media, however, that the operation was part of an investigation into a huge money laundering business. A spokesman for the police anti-corruption unit, quoted in Lidové noviny newspaper, said at least 5.3 billion Czech crowns, which is just under $300 million, had been laundered and taken out of the country. The building is home to a number of companies, including a popular bureau de change called Active Change, as well as a complex of holiday flats called Town Residence Apartments. According to Lidové noviny, Active Change is majority owned by an American citizen, with a British man and an Egyptian citizen also involved in the company. A security expert contacted by the paper said bureaux de change were an ideal way of laundering large sums of money because they keep far fewer details of transactions. But he also said he was sceptical that so much money could have been laundered in such a short time. So far, police are not saying where they believe the money has come from, but the usual candidates are profits from prostitution, the sale of weapons and drugs.
Rob Cameron with that report. Now, the annual Design Block Festival has just got underway in Prague and it's bigger than ever. Now in its 10th year, it gives people in Prague a unique opportunity to see up close the very best of furniture, fashion and accessories, both from the Czech Republic and elsewhere in the region. Ian Willoughby was at Monday's opening.
Among the record 200-plus participants in Design Block 08 are some of Prague's most important museums, galleries, studios, schools and design shops. The 10th edition features some new elements. A second festival centre in Holešovice, alongside its traditional home in another old industrial quarter, Karlín, and a special section dedicated to fashion. Design Block director Jana Zielinski.
Which pleases us very much is that Central European designers apply for Design Block to exhibit here, which means that Design Block is not only at the borders of the Czech Republic, but I would say it's more about Central Europe. We have a lot of Slovak and Polish designers exhibiting this year.
Why have you introduced this year a fashion element?
Fashion was always present at Design Block, but after successful Sony Stage project last year when we gave the space to fashion designers to have their fashion shows at Design Block. We were pushed by fashion, Czech fashion designers to make a fashion week actually included at Design Block, because they said, look, we are already having fashion shows and we would like to have more as well the media support. So basically Design Block was more pushed to do the Design Block Fashion Week as than it was the aim, real.
How much is Design Block aimed at the public and how much at the industry?
I would say it's both, basically. I think everybody who is dealing with production or design in the Czech Republic has to see it or has to be here. And the public who is interested is, of course, welcome. We always like this mixture. We like that the schools from small towns in the Czech Republic are coming by bus to see our exhibitions. And then on the other hand, in the VIP lounge, you have the big business going on. So I think it's something like Karlovy Vary, but in design field.
Over the 10 years of the existence of Design Block, have you noticed that Czech people are more educated about design and maybe have better taste?
Absolutely. There is a big difference as well in buying design, because 10 years ago, really, there was a small group of people who were interested in buying and who could afford it as well. And now we are in absolutely different situation after these 10 years, when design is becoming really a theme for the public. Almost everybody can buy a nice chair or a nice lamp, and people want to be dressed nicely. They care not only about their car, but they care as well of what they are wearing and what they are surrounded with. So I'm very happy that the situation has changed and we are really getting very close to the Western Europe. And I would say in the Czech Republic we have a very good conditions for this, because the tradition of understanding design and architecture is very strong here, and this is something which we can follow. So I'm quite proud that Design Block is not only the oldest but as well the biggest and most important even in Central and Eastern Europe.
Jana Zielinski, director of the Design Block Festival. This year's special guest is the leading Swiss designer, Alfredo Haberli. He's taking part for the first time, but has been to Prague to visit the festival in the past.
I think it's really the city from the east of Europe who opens again the door to the more far east countries. And I think there's a very positive movement going on in Prague. I think the city offers a lot of historical moments, and I think that the young generation is now trying to get this traditional in the future. So I hope that they can leave the Baroque on the back and try to see what comes up new.
What about the standard of design you've seen here? How high is it compared to, say, in your country, Switzerland?
I think the level is the same. You see that the young students, they are willing to work more. They need to communicate. And sometimes in the center of Europe, we are just too lazy in a way.
Design Block's packed schedule includes a special market for the public both afternoons next weekend. And the whole thing comes to a close on Sunday night.
Ian Willoughby with that report. And now in the last part of our show today, we meet the recipients of the Czech Republic's Gracias Agit Award.
A brass band opens the Gracias Agit Award ceremony in Prague's Jedlinský Palace on Friday. The ceremony itself and the party that follows are, in the words of Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, the single biggest event staged by the Czech Foreign Ministry each year. On Friday, the awards were given to a handful of exceptional individuals from around the world, a few of whom we'll be talking to later. But first, here's organiser Zuzana Opletalova explaining what the awards are all about.
The Gracias Agit is awarded by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Czech Republic to the people or non-governmental organizations that promote the Czech Republic abroad. From 1997, it was awarded to 162 people and non-governmental organizations. From individuals, it were, for example, people like artists, translators, and scientists.
14 individuals picked up an award at Friday's ceremony, and several organisations were also represented at the event. A town hall from the Flemish part of Belgium was awarded for the way it honours Czech soldiers killed in World War II, while the Washington chapter of the Society of Arts and Sciences was decorated for its enduring promotion of Czech culture in the States. A Czech-Canadian theatre troupe was also handed a prize. Jiří Adler was there to pick it up on behalf of his organisation.
It's the theatre around the corner. In Czech it sounds rather more interesting. It's Divadlo za rohem, but it's the literal translation would be the theatre around the corner. How it came about, I really don't know, but it happened and we kind of like it. It's probably, you know, this almost a Czech tradition to have a pub around the corner, and also we have a theatre around the corner.
What has your role been in the development of Divadlo za rohem? We'll say it in Czech because, as you said, it sounds very nice.
Well, I've been with the theatre for about 20 years almost. And my colleague, who actually accepted the prize with me, he is one of the founders of the theatre. But my role, you know, it's as any amateur or not professional organization, I think I've done everything, including writing, producing, stage management, and unfortunately for people, also acting. So we've done it all, and kind of that's part of it.
Pan Paul Rausnitz, Spojené státy americké, Česká republika. Podnikatel, mecenáš, člen československé obce legionářské.
One of the oldest people to receive an award at Friday's ceremony was Paul Rausnitz. Now in his 80s, Mr. Rausnitz still runs a business manufacturing high-quality glass for machines. He's been living back in the Czech Republic for the last 10 years, but in the course of his life has been forced to emigrate on several occasions. The first time his family left Czech territory was following the occupation of the Sudetenland in 1938.
We were caught by the Germans on the border. I was 11 years old. We were all put in prison in Moravská Ostrava. For a short period of time, we were thrown out by the Germans into Poland, which was very lucky. And we just came there waiting for our visas to go to America. The war broke out. Hitler invaded Poland. And there was 1,000 Czech refugees in Poland. And we ran by foot for 3 weeks away from the Germans to the eastern part of Poland, hoping we get to Romania. But when we were close already, Poland was divided between Russia and Germany. And we were luckily in the part that the Russians came in. My father was a physician. They gave him a job. And we stayed for 2 years in the occupied part of Poland. 1941, the war breaks out again. And we said, under no circumstances, we will fall in the hands of the Germans. We ran away in deep to Russia. And as far we came to Turkmenistan.
You were part of the Czech Legion of the Red Army in that case.
Not of the Red Army, of the Czechoslovakian army in Russia.
But you were still very young, so were you fighting as a proper soldier? I heard that maybe...
At 14 years, I was the youngest, my other brother 17, my oldest brother 20, and my parents, we all joined the army. My brother was wounded on the Russian front. He fought with the Czech army against the Germans. We came back to Czechoslovakia in 1945, immediately on May 7, I think the war was over. We were here on May the 10th in Prague. We came back to our town in Jablonec. And since we were in Russia, we knew that Czechoslovakia would not be a free country. And we left before the trouble started. This time we said we would leave on time. We came to the United States with the whole family, and I came back here in 1998-99 after the Velvet Revolution, and have now a business here.
Sir Frank Lampl, Spojené království Velké Británie a Severního Irska.
Sir Frank Lampl, like Paul Rausnitz, is an award winner with an Anglo-Saxon connection. He left what was then Czechoslovakia for Britain in 1968. Mr. Lampl started out as a general foreman in London before working his way up to the top of one of the biggest building firms in the world, Bovis Construction Group. As the name would suggest, the Gracias Agate is not the first award that Sir Frank has received. He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in 1990 for his contribution to construction in the UK. He compares the two awards.
Oh, the Buckingham Palace knighthood was probably the greatest event in my whole life. I mean, I wouldn't compare anything to it, but it's very, I'm still honored and delighted. There is in Czech a saying which says that nobody is a prophet at home. You see, that you have to go abroad in order to be recognized. And so now I'm a prophet at home.
Okay, well, just as a little girl, you know, I always sort of thought about, you know, meeting the Queen as being the most exciting thing. Can you just tell me, out of my own interest, what it was like to meet the Queen and what she said to you, and what it was like to meet Schwarzenberg and what he said to you?
At the knighting ceremony, I remember she was just back from Australia, and we had then a company in Australia, and that's what either she asked me or I started it. Well, in any case, she has to speak first. The habit is you don't speak unless you are spoken to. But when you are knighted, you are spoken to.
And Schwarzenberg as well. I mean, he...
Schwarzenberg suggested that if I like to use usefully this big glass ball he gave me, I can throw it at somebody's head. And I said, I won't do that because I would risk that he would throw it back at me. So, yeah, Mr. Schwarzenberg has a terrific sense of humor. I was pleased actually to get it from him while he is Secretary of Foreign Affairs. Yeah.
What does it mean to you to be back in the Czech Republic? I mean, I know that you can come back now very often, and you do, but I mean, when you lived here, it sounds like you had a pretty horrible time. So, I mean, do you have fond memories of this country, or do you have lots and lots of memories of, you know, being sent to labor camps, etc., etc.?
Well, I have a lot of bad memories from my stay on the continent, shall we put it that way, which I deliberately put aside, and I hope they don't affect me. I would hate to think that they affect me. It would be a victory for those who were very unjust and quite despicable, actually. But I obviously I grew up here in this country. I have lots of friends here, and I have a great respect for this nation. It is a nation which suffered historically an awful lot. It's a very industrious and intelligent nation with very deep and high qualities of values. There are really values here made be only in a small group of people, which are very, very valuable and which I admire very much. And I feel at home here. I feel at home here, and I feel at home in England.
Sir Frank Lampl was one of the handful of entrepreneurs to be recognised at Friday's Gracias Agate ceremony, honouring those flying a banner for the Czech Republic abroad. Other recipients included translators, Czech scholars, politicians and diplomats.
Rosie Johnston with that feature, and that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments or questions about our program, you can write to us. Our address is Vinohradská 12, 120-99, Prague. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. You can find all of our reports in both text and audio format on our website, that is www.radio.cz. And there you can also listen to our podcast and sign up for a free daily news email. But for now, that's all. From me, Ruth Franková, and all of us here at the station, thank you for listening and goodbye.